August 23rd, Talmud of the Bible. Sunday we did a review a little bit and we went over Deborah. So we're going to move on to Gideon tonight. And if we have time, I may go back and look at Deborah a little bit more for those who didn't have an opportunity to be in that class for that. But it is online, though, if you hadn't had a chance to look at that. Judges chapter 6. We're on the fifth judge, Gideon. Any questions or anything from last time? Gideon was the fifth judge, son of Joash, clan of Abiezer. I've written that on the board here, the second name there. We'll look at that a little bit later. He was from the tribe of Manasseh. So keep those things in mind. Tribe of Manasseh, but the clan of Abiezer. He judged following 7 years of oppression by the Midianites. We'll talk about Midian here in just a little bit. He asked God for several signs to confirm his belief in his calling. His father worshipped Baal. His father had built an altar to Baal. We'll see that in the story. Later on, he's also known as Jerubbaal. He was given a second name, and we'll see that. So keep that name in mind as well. Later on, he had 70 sons by many wives. And he had a son, Abimelech, by a concubine, who will be our next subject, our next judge. And we'll discuss that later, next time. So a little background before we start reading. Again, he was the son of Joash. Joash the Abizite, if I pronounce that correctly. He was the father of Gideon. He lived at Ophrah. And he, again, as we mentioned, he worshipped Baal. So let's talk a little bit about this term here, since he was of this clan. It's Abizites. These were descendants of Abiezer. Who's he? Let's learn about him a little bit. He was a descendant of Manasseh. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 17. Again, let's give us some background on his people. When we get to the story, we're going to do a lot of reading. Gideon is, the best I can tell, the longest written about judge. Samson's close behind him, but as far as the amount that was written about him, was the most. Chapter 17 of Joshua, talking about these people here. Verses 1 and 2. Then allotments was made to the people of Manasseh. Again, that's the tribe he's from. For he was the firstborn of Joseph, to Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, were allotted Gilead and Bashan, because he was a man of war. And allotments were made to the rest of the people of Manasseh by their clans. And we see that first one is Abiezer. He's listed in this. Note that his father is not named. We'll look at that right now. But rather he is listed with the descendants of his mother's brother, Gilead, his uncle. 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Again, they're usually named, of course, with their father, but not so with this one. 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Begin at verse 14. As they were listening to these descendants of Manasseh. The sons of Manasseh, again, excuse me on some of these names, they're difficult to pronounce. Asriel, whom his Aramean concubine bore. She bore Machir, the father of Gilead. And Machir took a wife for Huppim and for Shuppim. The name of his sister was Makah. And the name of the second was Zelophehad. And Zelophehad had daughters. And Makah, the wife of Machir, bore a son. And she called his name Peresh. And the name of his brother was Sheresh. And his sons were Ulam and Rakam. Verse 17. The son of Ulam, Bedan. These were the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, son of Manasseh. And notice verse 18. And his sister, talking about Gilead, and his sister, Hamelocheth, bore Ishod and this Abiezer. So here he's listed as his mother's descendant, not his father's. Why? I don't have an answer for that. In Numbers, chapter 26. You know, I don't know if there's any significance to that. And we're going to see here, his name is going to be shortened from this. Take off the AB, you're going to see this. See the similarity here? And simply, we know it because the names are listed with him. Numbers chapter 26, verse 30. These are the sons of Gilead. And the next thing, of Eezer, the clan of the Eezerites, of the Hillock. Does anyone's version say anything different there? Okay. So this name seems to be shortened here. If you list, look at all those names that they're listed with. Okay. Questions about that? Midian. Midian in this story is not a person, but a people. You're going to see, I think they chased Midian or they went after Midian. Sometimes referred to as Midian, other times as the Midianites. Okay, there was a man named Midian. That's who these people came from, but who was he? So let's look at this Midian, who these Midianites came from. Midian was Isaac's half-brother. Okay, this perspective. He was the fourth of six sons born to Keturah, whom Abraham married as an old man after Sarah died. Genesis chapter 25. Again, Sarah dies. Abraham remarries. And this is one of these sons. Verse 1 of chapter 25 of Genesis. Abraham took another wife, whose name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian. We'll stop there. There's some other ones there. But it's the fourth one listed here out of these. Note that Midian and all those other children that Abraham had outside of Sarah are referred to as the sons of Keturah, and it's distinguished them from outside the promise that was made to the people. Okay, we'll look at that. Genesis chapter 25, verse 5. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts. And while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the east country. So we're told in verse 1 he took another wife, but here it's listed as a concubine. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Verse 32. Back up to verse 28 first. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Verse 28. The sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. And it lists some genealogies there. Drop down to verse 32. The sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, and she bore Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, and Midian. So he's listed here, but it's separated here to distinguish between the ones that came for the promise and those other ones. But we see the Midianites a lot in Israel's history. Before this, with Abraham, as we've just seen, also turn with Joseph, Genesis chapter 37, these Midianites. Again, coming from Abraham. What other roles did they play? Genesis chapter 37. Begin at verse 25. And they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, myrrh, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. The Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him up out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and I, where shall I go?" They took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, dipped the robe in the blood, and they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." And Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, verse 36, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. So we see they play all other roles. Also with Moses, Exodus chapter 2. Then there's the descendants of Midian, who came from Abraham. Chapter 2, verse 15, beginning. When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and saved them, watered the flock. When they came home to their father Reuel, he said, "How is it that you have come home so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and even drew water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah. She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, cried out for help, and their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac, with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, again this priest of Midian. Okay? So these descendants had this land, as we see it throughout the history. And with that, we'll turn to Judges chapter 6 and read the first chapter of this story. Any comments? Judges chapter 6. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. Again, when you read that, it sounds like it's a person or a king. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. So look at this oppression that it's causing them to do, how far it's making them do these things, making them flee and try to find other dwelling places. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. And they would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted. So they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. So these things they were doing were so bad that it was really breaking them, their spirit, of being treated. Verse 7, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of those of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Of course, they're hiding it because the Midianites are coming and taking all their stuff. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" So he questions. "And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." So again, Gideon didn't witness these mighty works, but he did recount our fathers told their sons and so forth. It was passed on, but he didn't witness it firsthand. So he's going to ask for a set of signs from this God, because he's not seen the power of this God himself. He even questions it. Verse 14, "And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. So Gideon went into his house, prepared a young goat, unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, the broth he put in a pot, and brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, Take the meat and the unleavened cakes, put them on this rock, pour the broth over them. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. And Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, Prepare, or peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. And Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it The Lord is Peace. To this day it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to Abizarites. That night the Lord said to him, Take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah beside us. We see here his father was a worshiper of Baal. And build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold here, with the stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. And so Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. But he still did it. Verse 28. When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the Asherah beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, Who has done this thing? And after they had searched and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the town said to Joash, Bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, Will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down. Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, that is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he broke down his altar. Again, did his father do this because of his love or worship for Baal, or because his son was being threatened? Who knows? Either way, he makes this statement, which is a very true statement. Verse 33. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet. And the Abizarites were called out to follow him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh. Again, these are his people, this is his clan, this is his tribe. And they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, and Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, he's asking for another sign, If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. And Gideon said to God, Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and all the ground there was dew. So these signs, he's looking for this verification. He wants more evidence. Again, he didn't see those mighty signs. He was told about those mighty signs, but he hadn't witnessed them. Chapter 7, a little background on that. We're going to see the name Pura. This is the servant of Gideon. You just see him briefly, I guess one verse. But he was a servant of Gideon who goes with Gideon on a secret night mission. And we'll read about that in just a moment. You're going to hear the names Oreb and Zeb. These are two Midianite princes. Again, Midian or Midianite is the people. But these are two Midianite princes who will be beheaded at the end of this chapter, as we'll see. And they're also mentioned in Psalms. Let's turn there real quick. Along with Sisera, we mentioned Sisera last week with Deborah and Jabin as well. They're mentioned there in Deborah's story. Psalms chapter 83. Again, these two names, Oreb and Zeeb, two princes of these Midianites that we're going to hear about in just a minute. They were killed. Begin at verse 9 of chapter 83 of Psalms. Do to them as you did to Midian, as to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor to become dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna. And we'll see that those two names a little bit later as well. Chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, again, you're going to see that name from now on most of the time instead of Gideon. So get that one locked in your head there. Same person, different name, because he tore the altar of Baal down. And all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.'" Then 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. So doing the math, we had 32,000 people or men were there. The 22,000 of them leave because they're afraid. 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. Any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself." Not told him why yet. Not told him that that's the ones he's keeping. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 of this 10,000. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. So you got to imagine this. You're there, you're Gideon, and God said, "I want you to separate these people." And we got 300 standing over here, and we got 9,700 standing over here. You're probably thinking, "God's going to let me take these 9,700, not these 300. He's not told them yet. Next, the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you." Imagine his reaction when he heard that. 300, not the bigger crowd. "And give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go, every man to his home." So the people took provisions in their hand and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. We're not told his reaction to that. We're just told the fact of what happened. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I've given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp of Pura, your servant," when we talked about it a minute ago, "and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go against the camp." And he went down with Pura, his servant, at the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now this time, he doesn't ask for a sign. God's going to give him a little more encouragement on his own. Verse 12. "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, 'Behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down, so that the tent lay flat.'" Now he's probably thinking, "What in the world is that supposed to mean?" His comrade, the guy he's talking to, and he has Gideon's listen, answered, "This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp." And as soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand." So he's very confident. He got the word that he was needing. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, put trumpets into the hands of all of them, and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. When they just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches, and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. They cried out and fled. Then they blew the 300 trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as the Shittah toward Zeria, and as far as the border of Abel-Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali, from Asher, all Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian. Again, Midian being these people. Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and capture the waters against them as far as Beth-Bara and also the Jordan." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they captured the waters as far as Beth-Bara and also the Jordan. And they captured the two princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. That's the two names we read earlier. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb they killed at the winepress of Zeeb. Then they pursued Midian. They brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon across the Jordan. So we see that these two princes were actually beheaded. Comments about that? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. This event we just read about is also listed by Isaiah in two places. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4. "For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian." So it's referring to this battle, one of the days of Midian. Chapter 10, verse 26. "And the Lord of hosts will wield against them a whip, as when he struck Midian at the rock of Oreb, and his staff will be over the sea, and he will lift it as he did in Egypt." So again, he's referring back to this time of Oreb and Zeeb. Gideon chapter 28 of Judges again. Probably won't get through this chapter. We'll see. You're going to see on this one Zeba and Zalmunna. Now, we read those two names earlier in Psalms. Now, these are two kings of Midian. The two princes have been beheaded and killed. You're going to see two kings of Midian who actually kill Gideon's brothers at Tabor. Now, we're not told about that happening, but when Gideon goes to these two kings, he kind of reflects back and finds that these two kings have killed his brothers. Jether, you're also going to hear that name. That's the firstborn son of Gideon. He's involved with these kings. Okay, you're going to hear the term 1,700 shekels. It's the amount of gold. If I found the right thing, it's about 42 pounds. Okay, in weight. Chapter 8. "The men of Ephraim said to him, 'What is this that you have done to us? Not to call us when you went to fight against Midian.'" So they're mad at Gideon for this. "And they accused him fiercely. And he said to them, 'What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the grape harvest of Abiezer? God has given into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. What have I been able to do in comparison with you?'" So he's complimenting them. Then the anger against him subsided when he said this. "And Gideon came to the Jordan and crossed over, he and his 300 men who were with him." So apparently no one's been lost. Exhausted, yet pursuing. "And so he said to the men of Succoth, 'Please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian.' And the officials of Succoth said, 'Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hand, that we should give bread to your army?'" In other words, have you captured them already? We fear them, what they're basically saying. "So Gideon said, 'Well then, when the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, I will flail your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And from there he went up to Peniel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered. And he said to the men of Peniel, "When I come again in peace, I'll break down this tower." Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, for their army, about 15,000 men, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east. They had fallen 120,000 men who drew the sword. And Gideon went up by the way of the tent dwellers east of Nobah and Jogbehia and attacked the army, for the army felt secure. And Zeba and Zalmunna fled, and he pursued them and captured the two kings of Midian. And he threw all the army into a panic. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned to the battle by the ancient of Heres. And he captured a young man of Succoth and questioned him. And he wrote down for him the officials and elders of Succoth, 77 men. And he came to the men of Succoth and said, "Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you taunted me, saying, 'Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hand, that we should give you bread to your men who are exhausted?' And he took the elders of the city, and he took the thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth a lesson. And he broke down the tower of Peniel and killed the men of the city. And then he said to Zeba and Zalmunna," that's where we're hear about his brothers here, "'Where are the men whom you killed at Tabor?' And they answered, 'As you are, so they were. Every one of them resembled the son of the king.' And he said, 'They were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you have saved them alive, I would not kill you.' So he said to Jether, his firstborn, 'Rise and kill them.' But the young man did not draw his sword, for he was afraid, because he was still a young man. And Zeba and Zalmunna said, 'Rise yourself and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength.' And Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmunna. And he took the crescent ornaments that were on the necks of their camels. The men of Israel said to Gideon, 'Rule over us and your son and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian.' And Gideon said, 'I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you.' And Gideon said to them, 'Let me make a request of you. Every one of you give me your earrings from the spoil.' For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, 'We will willingly give them.' And they spread a cloak, every man threw his earrings into the spoil. The weight of the golden earrings they requested was 1,700 shekels, about 42 pounds of gold, besides the crescent ornaments and the pendants and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, and besides the collars that were around the necks of the camels. And Gideon made an ephod of it and put it in his city, Ophrah. And all Israel whored after it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his family. So Midian was subdued before the people of Israel, and they raised their heads no more, and the land had rest for 40 years. Jerubbaal," this is Gideon, chapter, verse 29, "the son of Joash went and lived in his own house. Now Gideon had 70 sons, his own offspring, for he had many wives. And his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, and he called his name Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age, was buried in the tomb of Joash's father at Ophrah, at the Abrazites. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again, whored after the Baals, and made Baal-Berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember their God." And we'll just go ahead and stop right there.
Thought question.